And now, today's word.
Jesus did not take away the law to leave nothing. Jesus took away the law to establish a better system. Because the law focused on what you did outside you. Grace focuses on what you do inside you. Grace deals with sin before it manifests. The law deals with sin after it manifests. Jesus says, under my system, you don't even have to think it. Moses says, if you do it and you are caught, you are stoned. In the Christ system, you don't think it. So you'll not be stoned. The reason you'll not be stoned, because you won't think it. Because if you think it, you've done it. You say, but I haven't done anything. According to Jesus, you've done it. So that's harder. Yes, that's why you need grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and reality and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, you know, in the Bible, there is the law, the law spirit of death, but there is also the law of Christ. The law of Christ is called the law of spirit and life. The law of Christ is higher than the law of Moses. It's higher. So being under grace does not mean that a person can do whatever they want, because Jesus has set a new rule. He took away the old and established the new. All right. So let's talk about grace a little bit, because that is what this teaching is all about, grace. So what is grace? I'll give you three definitions. Number one, grace is God's undeserved goodwill toward us. This is God's generosity, God's kindness manifested to us. Grace depends on God, is established on Him, it originates from Him. Grace allows God's love to reach out to the most evil human being. Allows God to still love us whilst we blaspheme Him. Have you ever wished that somebody who is really blaspheming God would die instantly? Have you wished that? You wish that somebody who is saying, there is no God, will have maybe a big bat enter his mouth and just suffocate him and he dies, and we say, well, there's God. Have you ever wished that? Or the person who is persecuting you because you're a Christian, and an angel appear and cut off his head and say, yeah, I'm the angel of the Lord. Well, that would have worked if you were under law. But under grace, it's God's love to the unlovable. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Grace extends God's love to the most unlikely places. Secondly, grace is God's willingness to share in our lives. Grace is what God uses to share in our lives. As a matter of fact, grace is what allowed God to create man in the first place. He didn't create man in another image, but in His own image, He shared Himself with us. That's grace. God condescending, God coming down to our level. Grace is what made God put clothes on Adam and Eve when they sinned. Grace is what made God call Abraham out of nowhere to establish a covenant with Him. Grace is what made God deliver Israel from bondage. So grace didn't start with Christ. It's been there, but it comes into fullness, into completion in Christ. Grace is God's willingness to share in your life. When God steps into your situation, is grace. When you are struggling and God comes to your aid, is grace. When you don't know where to turn and God gives you direction, is grace. When everybody gives up on you and God lifts you up, that's grace. Grace allows God to come into your life and participate in your life. When everybody says your case is so bad and you've sinned so bad and even the church doesn't have space for you, grace allows God to still come into your life, to share in your life, to share in your story, and to lift you up. Grace allows God to share in our lives. And grace is God's strength giving to us. When we are weak, He is strong. His grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's God's grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I think Jesus Christ showed grace so many times and throughout His ministry. But most of us can relate to the story of the woman caught in adultery. That is where the woman is confronted with the law and grace. They catch the woman in adultery. According to the law, she ought to be stoned. That is the law. Jesus cannot destroy the law. He can't. He can't say, well, you can't kill her because I'm Jesus. Because that is overthrowing the law. That is disregarding the law. Jesus says, I didn't come to disregard the law. The law says you should be stoned. But she won't be stoned from on high. She'll be stoned by people. So Jesus now is applying grace to the law. So He says to the people, he who has no sin cast the first stone. So none of them cast. So that's dealing with the people who must execute her. Now Jesus has to deal with the sin itself, because Jesus can't say, well, what you did is nothing. You know, you are a woman after all. Woman must live. This is how the world is. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just one little problem. That's not, Jesus can't trivialize sin. So He has to now let grace respond to the law. The law says she must be punished. Grace say, I don't condemn her. Doesn't mean she hasn't done it, but I refuse to exert the judgment. Grace withholds judgment. But grace does not condone sin. Grace says, I don't judge you, but deal with the sin. Go and sin no more. So where the law says you have sinned, be punished, grace says I'm going to hold on to judgment and give you a second chance. But the second chance is not for you to come back again doing the same thing. The second chance is for you to apply grace to overcome the weakness that got you into the problem the first time. So grace therefore takes us away from judgment, but gives us the strength to overcome that which makes us liable for judgment. Grace speaks the law, and grace withholds judgment. I want to say a few things about grace, and then we close for today. First, grace has always been present. Grace planned salvation. Our whole salvation was planned by grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 9 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So before time began, before we could clock time, God, by His grace, has already planned that somewhere in time, He will step in human history and change the course of the human life. Grace had gone ahead of us. Even when there was no time, grace had made a preparation for our fall and had made a substitution through Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation was not an afterthought. It was a work of grace. Second thing about grace, grace offers salvation to all. Grace offers salvation to all. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Grace offers salvation to all men. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's very interesting. The law was given to the Jews. Grace is to all men. Grace that is not to a specific race, is not based on your social status, is not based on gender. Grace is to everybody. God's grace is to the Muslim, to the Hindu, to the Buddhist. God's grace is to the Taoist. God's grace is the Zoroastrianists. God's grace is to the atheist, to the agnostic. God's grace is to the blasphemer. God's grace is to the churchgoer. God's grace is to all men. There's nobody beyond God's grace. Salvation through Christ is available to all men. To all men. It's not a Christian exclusive. You don't have to be a Christian to be saved. Just think about it. You don't need to be a Christian to be saved. You need to be a sinner to be saved. And the Bible has qualified everybody. All have sinned, so all are savable. All are savable. So when I talk to somebody, he says, "Well, I belong to a different religion." I say, "Well, you can still be saved. But I don't believe in the Bible, but you can still be saved. I don't go to church. You can still be saved because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, no matter your religion, your background, or your situation. God offers grace for salvation to all. Third, grace gives us faith to be saved. What we require to be saved. Somebody said, "Well, I want to be saved, but it's too hard." Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I like that very much. It says, you have been saved through faith. We have been saved through faith, but even the faith, it wasn't yours. So God saves us through faith. But the faith you need to be saved is not even yours. It's a gift from God. In other words, your own salvation, all you need is to just trust God, because even the faith for your salvation doesn't come from yourself. You don't squeeze your face and say, "I have faith. Yeah, and I'm going to be saved today." No. The faith is not yours. It is a gift from God. So what saved me was not even me. What I need to become a Christian is not even mine. It's a gift from God. God's gift of faith. You say, it's like God says, for you to be saved, it's like you're going to buy something. And the thing is tied, it's priced 1,000 cedis. And you say, But I don't have 1,000 cedis. And God says, "Okay, I am the store owner, and it's my property you're coming to buy for 1,000 cedis, and you don't have 1,000 cedis, so take this 1,000 cedis to buy from me." Did you see that? What you need to buy from him, he gave it to you. So he gave you his money, and you bought from him and gave him back his money. The faith is not yours. It's of grace. Number four, grace equips us to serve God. You want to serve God? Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. "For us, we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In other words, everything we do in ministry, in serving God, is of grace. Whether you're an apostle, you're a prophet, you're a pastor, you're a teacher, you're an evangelist, you're a man of God, you're a bishop, you're a senior bishop, you are a chief bishop, you are a pope or a senior pope, it's all of grace. Number five, grace makes us who we are. Grace makes us who we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. Paul speaking, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." Paul is saying, even when I work hard, it is of grace. Who I am is of grace. My status in life is of grace. Now, when you know that wherever you have attained in life is of grace, your boasting is minimized. Don't you think so? You can say, well, when I went for the common entrance, I was number one in West Africa. And I went to GCEO level, I was number one in West Africa. Because my father has brains and my mother has brains. I have seen people with brains who give birth to children with minimal brains. Whoever we are is by grace. I am what I am by grace. Even when I work hard, it is by grace. If I labor and succeed, it is by grace.